I want to begin with a word association game. I'm going to give you some words and let's see what it brings to mind. Richard Nixon. Bernie Madoff. Martha Stewart. Enron. WorldCom. Any of these names sound familiar to you? Does it make you think of fraud? Lying, deceit, extortion. These names have essentially become to us synonymous with unethical business behavior. And over the last 25 years, business ethics has become a pretty big topic in the business world. Sadly, it's been my experience over the past few years to notice that lack of ethics is not just something that's happening among the worldly. But I hear stories even of Christians, preachers, elders even, in their business dealings and in their finances, falling from that ethical high ground. And with that in mind, as we are working this month to learn how to put God in the beginning of our jobs, I want us today to ask this question. Is it ethical? Is it ethical? On my job, in my business dealings, anywhere around, is the behavior that I'm about to participate in, is it ethical? I really like the title of a John Maxwell book that came out a few years ago. There's no such thing as business ethics. That title is not intended to say that in your business dealings you can be unethical. His point is that there are no subcategories of ethics. There's no special set of ethics that we are allowed to have on the job. His point is there's no such thing as business ethics. There's only ethics. There's just right behavior. There's right behavior that you have whether you're at church, on the job, at home, at school, in the neighborhood, wherever it is that you are. We are supposed to be a people that are ethical. And so what I want to do today is to take a look at the Word of God, and we're going to notice six rules for ethical behavior. We're going to notice three of them this morning. We're going to talk about three of them tonight. So if you want to be really ethical, you got to come back. But I'd also like to point out, for those of you who are here usually on Sunday evening, we're not going to have an extra handout because these lessons go together. What you'll notice in your program, the interactive outline covers both lessons this morning and tonight. So don't throw that program away as you walk out today. Bring it back with you tonight because that's going to have your interactive outline for tonight's lesson as well. All six of the rules are going to be in that interactive outline. We want to ask the question, is it ethical? Before we look at that, would you bow with me in prayer, please? God and Father in heaven, you are the great ruler of heaven and earth. You are wondrous and awesome beyond imagination. You are ethical in the extreme. Holy, beyond our ability even to comprehend. And we pray that you would help us to shine that light of holiness, ethical behavior on the job, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in the different volunteer organizations that we're a part of, in our schools, everywhere we live and everywhere we act, may we shine your light. May people see you living in and through us so that you will be glorified. Help us this morning to lift you up. Because we honor you and we want to praise you above everything else. We want you more than anything on this earth. We want you more than profits, more than power, more than fame, more than prestige, more than finances, more than influence. We want you above all things and we want to pass you along to our friends and our neighbors and our family. May we do that in our every action. We love you, Father, and we thank you for loving us first. Through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. So let's talk about the first three rules of ethical behavior. The very first rule is what I like to call the bottom line rule. The bottom line. We as Christians have a bottom line, and it's not the same as the bottom line for those who are in the world. The bottom line rule is demonstrated for us in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, where Jesus said, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." For us, this is our bottom line. The way I'm behaving on the job is Jesus in charge. seeking His kingdom and His righteousness. That's the idea of seeking His rule in my life. The bottom line rule is this thing I'm about to do, is Jesus okay with it? Is He ruling my life as I'm doing this? The problem that I often have with this passage, and I think we often do, is that as it talks about seeking His kingdom first, that can leave us with the idea that what Jesus meant was, as long as we start our day with prayer and Bible reading and get our spiritual things in first, then we can do everything else the rest of the day. That's not what it means. It does not mean do your spiritual things first. It means that the spiritual relationship that we have with Jesus is the primary relationship, the foundational relationship, the fundamental relationship. It is the bottom line of everything we say, everything we do, everything we participate in, whether it's at home, on the job, in the church. It is the bottom line. Now, I recognize, of course, that for many people, their bottom line is different. A lot of people today, their bottom line has to do with profits or power or prestige or preeminence. Our bottom line has to do with Jesus Christ. This thing that I'm about to do, would I do it if Jesus were standing right here? If He were conducting my behavior, would I do this thing? In 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, we are told, as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. The bottom line is, when I am behaving, what I am about to do, is this what God would do? If His kingdom, if He was my king, would I do this thing? Because in fact, He is our King. His righteousness should rule us. That is our bottom line. But that's no way to conduct a business, we cry. We don't need any of this namby-pamby, kumbaya, spiritual stuff on the job. Let's keep that at church, where it belongs. Here in the business world, it's dog-eat-dog. I got business to take care of. I don't need to be encumbered by all this Jesus stuff on the job. I'd like to remind you of Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, Jesus explains to us how we should conduct our lives. In Matthew 16, 26, He says, "What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Ignoring the bottom line rule may benefit your pocketbook, but it will not benefit your soul. And in eternity, you will want God's bottom line rule to have been your bottom line rule, not the world's. Is it ethical? Well, does it follow the bottom line rule? If not, it's not ethical for us. The second rule I'd like for us to keep in mind is the one that we're very familiar with, the golden rule. We've all heard what we call the golden rule, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. Even though Jesus doesn't call it the golden rule, this is what we've called it. Jesus tells us how we're supposed to behave. "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets." Whatever you wish that others would do to you, this is how you treat them. "For this is all the law and the prophets." This is what I often call a rule of thumb. You know, just like the thumb you could use as a ruler. I don't know what you've seen on the internet, but all that stuff that they often pass around on the internet is not where that came from. The rule of thumb is your thumb is about an inch. It's like a ruler. And so the rule of thumb, well, if it's about an inch, it'll look like the width of my thumb. That's where that comes from. So rule of thumb, what's the easy way to say? We know that God says a lot of things, and there's a lot of laws that God has, and there's a lot of commandments that God has given us about our interpersonal relationship. We may not have the ruler with us, but if we have our thumb, we can tell, yeah, that's about an inch. We may not have the Bible with us, but we can remember this one. Treat people the way you want to be treated. If I'm not treating people the way I want to be treated, then what I'm doing is not ethical. What I'm doing is not right. I want to treat people the way... How do I want to be treated? Well, I want to be treated honestly and fairly and equitably. I want people to give consideration to what I'm experiencing. If I'm the boss, I want people to be giving me their best. I don't want people to be giving me eye service and lip service. And so what should I do? Those are all the things that I should do. I want people to be honest with me. I want people to tell the truth. We're going to find that as a rule on its own. I want people to be open. I want people to be doing their job. I want people to do what they say they're going to do. This is what we should be doing because this is what we want from other people. Now, the problem that we have with this rule, it's typically our own pride and self-centeredness. I've got too much going on. I'm too important. I'm too significant. I don't have to be bothered and worried about all these other people that are around me. I've got my business that I've got to take care of. I'd like to remind you of what it says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others as more significant than yourselves. In my business dealings, don't I want people to view me as significant, as important, as worthy of consideration? Well, absolutely I do. And so when I am interacting with other people, whether it's making a sale, whether it's recruiting an employee, whether it's having to lay off somebody because of budget cuts, or even fire somebody because of bad performance, I need to give some consideration to them as a person. Significance and importance. Whatever my dealings with them are, I need to treat others the way I want to be treated because that is ethical. But that's no way to run a business, we cry. We can't be doing that. We can't be worried about everybody's feelings and what their thoughts and their concerns are and what their, we got a business to run. I've got clients to please. I've got shareholders to profit. I've got competition to plow through. People just need to understand this is business. It's not personal. In the inestimable words of Kathleen Kelly, whatever anything else is, it ought to begin by being personal. How do you want people to treat you? As just a statistic? As just a number on a page? Or do you want them to realize that you are a person with a family, with responsibilities, with people to support and provide for and bills to pay? I know there are a lot of things in business that are not always pleasing and pleasurable. I get that. But it's unethical to forget that the people we're interacting with are people who are significant and important, and we need to treat them the way we want to be treated. Oh, I get it. That may not make it into many business ethics manuals today, but that is in God's ethics manual for us. And that's how we conduct our business, because we want to be ethical. The golden rule. And rule number three. Rule number three, the honesty rule. The honesty rule. This really comes from the golden rule, doesn't it? Because don't you want people to be honest with you? Absolutely. Though Ephesians 4:25 is written about our relationship with one another, I think it provides this principle for us. It says, therefore, having put away falsehood. We as Christians have put away falsehood. So then it says, as we relate to one another, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we're members of one another. I get it that we're not necessarily members of one another on our job with folks who are out there in the world. But this principle is based on the fact that we have put away falsehood. We have put away falsehood and lying. So when we're talking to one another, we're going to tell the truth. But if I have put away falsehood, where else am I going to tell the truth? Everywhere. That's going to include here, that's going to include at home, that's going to include at school, that's going to include on the job. I'm going to put away falsehood and I'm going to speak the truth. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 17. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 17. We'll back up to verse 16. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. The first is haughty eyes. The second, a lying tongue. God hates lying. We're supposed to be people who tell the truth. Do you remember who the first liar was? And who is the father of lies? Satan. John 8:44 says that all lies come from him, and he is the father of lies and all liars. We must not let Satan be the father of our business dealings. God must be the father of our business dealings. We must be honest. We must tell the truth. Whether we're trying to make a sale or recruit an employee, we must be honest. We must tell the truth. We've got to tell the truth to ourselves. We've got to tell the truth to our employees. We've got to tell the truth to our employers. We don't need to be seeking loopholes. If the project's going to come in late, we need to tell the boss the project's going to come in late. If we can't get it done in that amount of time, we need to tell him, I can't get that done in that amount of time. We got to be honest. We got to tell the truth. A lot of times we want to play games with the truth, and Jesus demonstrates that in Matthew chapter 5. In the Sermon on the Mount, as he's teaching about honesty, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 33, again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, don't take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it's the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you can't make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. I like the New American Standard as it says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Jesus was dealing with people who tried to make loopholes. If you go into Matthew chapter 23, he talks about the Pharisees who said, well, if you swear by the altar, well, that's no big deal. You don't have to keep that one. But if you swear by the gold of the altar, well, now that one you've got to keep. We like to play games with our word. But that's not the way we're supposed to be. We follow honesty. We tell the truth consistently, all the time. That's our duty. That's what makes it ethical, being honest. And a second aspect of this idea of honesty is that if you say you're going to do something, do it. Don't promise the moon and not deliver just so you can get the job. If you say you're going to do it, do it. Psalm 15 and verse 4. Psalm 15 and verse 4. That psalm begins with, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who will dwell in your holy hill, O Lord? In verse 4, the last statement, the one who swears to his own hurt and does not change. If you say you're going to do something, do it. Oh, but I didn't understand. I didn't know how it was all going to turn out. I didn't realize how it was going to harm me. But you said this is what you were going to do. Do it. Be honest. Keep your word. I know that in our world, lawyers will tell us that verbal agreements are not worth the paper that they're written on. But among us, saying this is how I'm going to behave and this is what I'm going to do and this is what I'm going to give as I'm participating in this business relationship, that's the way it's supposed to be. We make our commitments and we keep our commitments, and our word is our bond. That is being ethical. But that's no way to run a business, we cry. Deceiving and being deceived, that's just a part of the business world. I actually was talking to a fellow this week who was a car salesman. It was funny. He said, you know, it's really hard to be a car salesman. He said, it's hard to be a car salesman because people think car salesmen are always lying. He said, I have to tell you, Edwin, it's not the salesmen that lie, it's the customers. Somebody knows, I heard that. He said, oh, look, they'll come in and they'll say, oh, no, no, I'm not trading a car, until you give them your best deal. And then they'll say, well, okay, you know what, I will go ahead and trade in my car. Because we're playing the game. So they'll come in and they'll ask the salesman, give me your best offer. And so the salesman gives them an offer. They don't believe it's the best offer. The problem is, what the salesman knows is, they know they're not going to believe it's the best offer. And so they don't give the best offer because they know they have to come down off of that. It just becomes this big old game of deception all the way around. Now, isn't that ridiculous? Isn't that completely and utterly ridiculous? Be honest. Well, I can't be honest in my business. I can't be honest. Deceiving and being deceived, it's just all a part of business dealings. If I was just honest all the time, someone might take advantage of me. Well, here's what we have to understand. Nobody ever loses their soul for being taken advantage of. Lying, on the other hand, that's following the father of lies. Is it ethical? Is it honest? We've been called to a high standard, brothers and sisters, when it comes to our dealings, not only inside this building and not only with these people, but when we've been called to our dealings with our neighbors, with our friends, with our family, with our employees and our employers, with our business associates, with our clients, with our customers, we've been called to a high standard. And we need to remember the bottom line rule. If Jesus was right here, is this how I would behave? Is he the one ruling me right now? We need to remember the golden rule. Am I conducting this business the way I would want someone to treat me when they're conducting business? And we need to remember the honesty rule. Is what I'm saying and what I'm doing right now, is it true? Is it right? Is it just? There's a great illustration in 2 Kings chapter 22. Josiah was having the temple restored, and in 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 3, in the 18th year of King Josiah, the king sent Shaphan the son of Azaliah, son of Meshulam, the secretary to the house of the Lord, saying, "Go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may count the money that has been brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the threshold have collected from the people. And let it be given into the hand of the workmen who have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And let them give it to the workmen who are at the house of the Lord, repairing the house, that is the carpenters, and to the builders, and to the masons. And let them use it for buying timber and quarried stone to repair their house. But no accounting shall be asked from them for the money that is delivered into their hand, for they deal honestly." Hey, I get it. In our businesses, we want to make sure that accounting practices are accomplished. But we need to be people that our employees, our employers, our customers could treat us just like this. That they could say, "I don't have to see that accounting, because he or she deals faithfully. He or she is honest. I know they've got a different bottom line than everybody else. I trust them." That's where we're supposed to be living. That's when it's ethical. How are you doing at that? If you'd like, you can put your notebooks away. Pull out your songbooks if you want to follow along in a songbook. The words will be up on the screen behind me. I want to invite you to be back tonight. We've got three more rules. Is it ethical? If you really want to be ethical, you'll be back. Oh, that's not even fair, because I don't want people guilt tripping me like that. So I'm not going to guilt trip you either. I mean, except maybe a little bit. I want to invite you to be back tonight as we continue our look at, is it ethical? Now, here's the interesting thing that we need to understand. We are called to a high calling of ethical behavior, not only on the job, but here among our brethren, in our families, in our schools, in our relationships. But here's what I know about every single one of us. Somewhere, sometime, every single one of us have failed at that. Somewhere, sometime, every single one of us have failed at that, often egregiously, terribly, horrifically. Our response to that, to overcome that, is not just, "Okay, I'll be better. I'll be better. I'll be better. And if I'm better, everything will be okay." Because we can get better, but that's not going to change our eternity. What changes our eternity is our completely and supremely ethical God came into this world in the person of Jesus the Christ. And he lived ethically. He followed the bottom line rule. He followed the golden rule. He followed the honesty rule. And he still got put on a cross and killed for it. And he did that because He saw you as significant and important. As more significant and important than himself. He could have stayed on his golden throne. But he came down and hung on the wooden cross. Because he saw you as important. And wanted your sins taken away. Have you confessed him as Lord? Have you called on his name in baptism? Bowing before him, kneeling before him as king? That he might take your sins away? Jesus says, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. We want to help you with that. If we can, we're going to invite you. Come to the front while we sing this song. And we'll help you call on the name of the Lord in baptism. We want to help you make Jesus your king. If we can help you, won't you please come forward right now as we stand and sing.